Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Might not be a good morning to you, but let me say three times, good morning, good morning, good morning. If you know that you're in your right mind or half of your right mind and you got your faculties all in place, you can walk, you can talk, you can hear, you can see. Oh, what a good God we serve. Hi, you guys. Welcome to the Global Vision for Living Today. Scriptures say without vision, the people perish. And some of us have already perished and just don't know it. Thank you so much for tuning in. Why does God not hear my prayers? Why does he not hear what I have to say? I've been praying for 1,000 years. I've been talking to my own self for 5,000 years. I have been going before God, begging, pleading, asking for anything that he might got left over of what he got on that first shelf, and ain't nothing happening. I have been listening to friends saying that, they got on their knees and they prayed, and the next day my paycheck came. You know, stories like that. Those stories still abound. I've even heard people say, you know, I prayed for a job, and the next week I was on the job, but then the next day they got fired. So there's so many people not really sure why God does not hear their prayers. They're not sure what to do, in essence, to cajole him to hear prayer. And most people really don't want God to hear prayer. They just figure, oh, he's going to hear that prayer, but is he going to do anything about my prayer? That's all they're interested in. What is he going to do once my solemn words go up to heaven on high, and I assume that he's listening. I assume that he is going to hear. I assume that he's going to say, okay, carte blanche, you know what? I'm going to give you everything you want in this prayer. We would be a fool, really, to think that. You know, most people, when they talk to others about getting advice or giving advice, the same person will say, you know what? I got to sleep on that. You know what? Let me think about that. Let me figure out how I'm going to be able to make something happen for you or in your behalf or in behalf of your family. Let me think about that. So why does God not hear my prayers? This really is part two. We really could say it's part everything, because nothing, hear me out, everyone on this call, on the sound of my voice. Let's think about it. What would happen if God answered your prayers in the way that you might think that he should? How do you know that would be a good idea to give you everything you want right now? Your daughter might slice your throat. Mama, that's mine. Your son might say, you know what, you're going in an old folks home. That's where you're headed, and I'm going to take over your wealth. We never know. So when someone says, oh, you know, I've been praying. I haven't slept all night. I've been praying on my knees. Why does God not hear my prayer? Well, you know what? I tell them, I said, oh, yeah, he's heard you, but it's at his discretion to do something about it. God has heard everything you had to say, but he has to make up his mind whether or not he's going to say yes or no, no. God truly, truly hears all prayers, but he does not act on them. Many say God does not hear them when they pray. They say perhaps there's no God at all. Oh, well, that God, oh, he died centuries ago. Can't even count. Let's get to the bottom of the matter and share how prayer, which is a solemn request, solemn holy request. Don't go before God and you know you're not holy. You can go, but I tell you what, you are not, N-O-T, going to get what you want. So we're going to get to the bottom of the matter and share how prayer, which is a request, can, solemn request, can enter the portals of heaven of God to be heard and of course, be acted upon by this God. Colonel Harrison has been with us. This is our 207. I was shocked. Our broadcast, 207 broadcast. And Colonel Harrison has been at the forefront of most of them. Hi, Colonel Harrison. How are you doing today?
Good morning, Dr. Coppentina. Doing well. And to your listening audience, thanks for asking. Hope all is well with you and the audience as well. It's a pleasure to be on the air again.
Sure, it's a pleasure. It means you are live. Colonel Harrison, why does God not hear all prayers? And we're talking about the Psalm 83:18, God. The one and only, the one and true God of the entire universe. Why does he not hear many prayers?
Great, Dr. Coppentina. That's an excellent question.
Well, I got to change that. He hears all prayers. But why doesn't he answer them in the way some of us might want him to?
Yes, okay. Yes, he hears the prayers of the righteous, but he doesn't answer the prayers the way some of us want him to because some of our prayers are selfish prayers. They're selfish, number one. Number two, they don't glorify God. And number three, they may not be in God's will for our lives. For an example, I said, I want $1 million. I pray to God for $1 million. What I want $1 million for? What am I going to do? Who am I going to help? I'm just going to use it for myself because of greed, certain things, material things I'm going to buy. So we have to make sure that our prayers, God answers the prayers that glorify him, and that's in our best interest and in our will for his life and for our for his plan for our lives and for our will that he has for our lives.
You know what? You just hit it on the nail. Yay, you know, I got some new power. But let me just back up for a moment. God hears all prayers, but he does not answer all prayers. The scriptures say through the psalmist that, oh, hear a prayer, answer my prayer. Oh, God, I'm coming to you. They just knew that God was going to not only hear their prayer, but he was also going to answer them those prayers. And that was because they were living a certain lifestyle. So, Colonel Harrison, isn't it true that before God can hear and answer, if we look at the word here, especially if we go all the way back to the Hebrew and the Aramaic version of that here, normally when person hear you call their name, they're going to turn around, they're going to come, there's going to be some activity. When someone hears a baby cry, they're just, you know, if they're in their right mind, they're going to run, see what's going on with the child, change diaper, give baby, you know, heated bottle and things like that. So God is there. Oh, hear a prayer. He does hear all prayers, but again, why doesn't he answer all prayers? Colonel Harrison?
Yes. It's back to the fact that God doesn't answer all prayers because the prayer that we render to God has to be meaningful to God, and it has to have a purpose that will connect with God's will for our lives. God has certain plans for our lives that he wants us to do and carry out while we're living in this place called Earth. And oftentimes when our prayers are not in agreement with God's plans for our lives, it's not in agreement with God's will for our lives, and therefore God doesn't answer those prayers. He has specific plans, so we have to seek God through prayer, asking him what is his plan for our lives. Then God answers those prayers that he wants us to carry out here in the earth, which is called works that he wants us to do to help with the kingdom of God here on earth.
Oh, my God, here on earth, you are hot today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yes, and you know what? As you were talking, I was thinking about this. Most people, when they get on their knees or lay down on the right side or, you know, however they approach him in prayer, many want to tell God what to do. Oh, God, and I want you to go in the hospital in the name of Jesus. I want you to go down on Skid Row, and I want you to put your power out there. Get some of these people off. And on and on and on and on and on. People want to tell God what to do. God is not a fool. The Creator, He knows where the ant is right now. Billions of acres on this planet. He can tell you, the psalmist said, that your hairs on your head is even numbered. So this God ain't no joke. So I think people get the wrong adage about prayer. Let me go over there and see if I can win the lottery. Let me go talk to God and see if he can get me a new house. Let me go over here and tell God I need a car. You know, and it's not really funny. It's very sad because these are people that have been taught, assumably been taught by ministers that have said, if you want this, just go to God. And if you want a healing, just go. You know what? That is just so ignorant. It's not only ignorant, but it's unjust, it's untrue, and it's ungodly. It is just awful for people to be told that, because the hearer of prayer already knows what you need before what Colonel Harrison finished that.
State the question again, Doc.
God already knows what we need before we what? Before
he already
we
knows
come
what we need
prayer,
before we pray.
Yes,
before we pray. Before we pray to him.
So he already know we're going to crawl to him after night of binge, night out, maybe dancing, drinking, or whatever. He already know, uh-oh, knock, 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 here's your heart coming to me in a prayer. So we cannot assume that prayer is the act of telling God what to do. It is making a solemn request. I'm not going to go to the bank and say, give me all the money out of here. I'm going to make a solemn request for what's mine inside of this bank. So because of that, people are mad because they say, you know what, I ain't have nothing to do with that God, that Jehovah God and no other God, Jesus, nobody, because I've been praying for 1,000 years and nothing. My kids are still bad. My grandkids are still running wicked. My daughter is this. My mother is that. You know, they aren't really seeing anything. But what is the key? There is a key to getting God to not only hear our prayers, but to answer them. Colonel Harrison, give us some ideas about that. What is the keys to getting God to not only hear, sit up there and listen, and nothing comes out of that same goat, same Wolverine, same demon, I mean same person that ate everything they could eat the day before, they wake up right now, whatever date this is. It says July 2nd, same nothing. Give us some keys, Colonel Harrison, on how he cannot just sit up there and listen, but we want some action. Give us some keys how to get action from God through prayer.
One of the main way keys to getting action to and from God is obedience. Obedience to God's holy words. There are a lot of people, and I know we're talking about prayer, certainly going to stay with prayer, but the Bible contains God's holy words. So we have to spend some time, put aside some time, make some time to read God's holy words, and we'll find out what his plans are for our lives. So obedience is one of the key. A person that disobedience, God's not going to hear the prayer, and he's not going to answer that prayer. Those who are obedient, once you get to know who God's words are, they are his instructions for us, for mankind here on earth, for us to follow, to obey, and then God answers the prayers of the righteous. One of the apostles in the first century named James, he said, the effective, sincere prayer of those who are righteous causes much to happen here on earth. And so the things that we want to do, the things that we desire to do, if it's in agreement with God's holy word, if it's in keeping with God's holy words, and if it's not selfish, and if we're obedient to his holy words, then God answers the prayer. So obedience is one of the main key words to God, not only hearing our prayers, but answering our prayers.
Oh, my God, you are hot on fire. Yes, you are hot today. Let me say this. We got some hands here. You made the statement that God hears and answers the prayer of the righteous. We got a problem here. Now, let's say someone's baby daughter is dying. She's 3 years old, got some horrific cancer, and he's standing up there at the window groaning and moaning, oh, I did all this for God. Oh, I've been good. Oh, I've helped feed the poor. Oh, I've did this. Oh, I've did this. I think we need to break down what it means to be righteous, because if this righteous, so-called righteous man feels that he's got all the markers in a row, and now here, my daughter, they say she got an hour to live. I mean, now that might throw some people off and say, well, you know what, God's a lie. You know, I'm living like this, I'm living like that. I haven't robbed anything from anybody. And now all of a sudden my daughter's dead. I'm planning a funeral next week. So I can understand why that might be a problem. And since you're a minister, I want you to break this thing down. So now let's go to another example. Here's an old minister. Oh, I've been preaching for 60 years. And I've asked God for this. I can use my own father, Bishop Mims. His ministry ended after about 55 years. And he was in such turmoil that he told me, you know, when I walk out of this door, burn it down to the ground. And I wrestled with that even as his daughter and as someone that's very mature. What did he really mean by that? Did he really mean to do that? He wanted that edifice burned down. And I watched my father do great things. I watched him make a few mistakes. But overall, my father would say, you know what? I'm living a righteous life. I'm up the rough side of the mountain. There was a song, I think, by the Blind Boys or something. I'm heading up. I'm going up on the rough side of the mountain. So if a person says, you know, I've lived this righteous life, but now I've been in this car accident. My daughter just died. I went to work and there was a pink slip hanging there for me with my name on it. I mean, all these travesties. So how can we give God some glory and truthfulness about what it means to live a righteous life? Because the Bible did say he does hear and, of course, honor the prayers of the righteous. But now we need to put this in a context where people would say, well, you know what, even though I've been righteous and I've been doing all the good I can, I'm gonna allow God to have his own way. That's the song, God have his own way. So she died, well, God knows. Yeah, I got fired, God knows. Excuse me, does that necessarily put God behind the eight ball? Because here's a self-proclaimed righteous person say, it didn't do no good. I've been serving him all these years. My father, oh, my God, I can't even tell you how I felt when he said it, but I was glad to do it. I didn't do it. And I told on the air that story of I was on my way and what happened. I might tell it again. But now, hey, Colonel, break this thing down. Your minister. He hears the prayers of the righteous. I think we need to break this righteous down. And I don't want to change links here on my computer and actually lose my space here on this show to go look that up. But break down righteous. He hears the prayers and he acts on. Oh, and so I guess what you are you saying that he will give you whatever you ask for because you're righteous? Break that down for us.
Yes, according to Bible teachings, one becomes righteous or is made righteous once they accept God's Son, Jesus Christ, as their personal Lord and Savior over their lives, according to the Bible. So there are good people, there are bad people. People that are good may not have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. People bad certainly hasn't. So the Bible teaches that Jesus is the one who makes us in a right relationship with God, because Jesus, John 3:16, is the Son of God. For God so loved the world, he is the only begotten Son of God. And so that's why God 2,000 years ago, according to Bible teaching, sent his only Son to the world to make mankind righteous and pardon mankind of their transgressions. So one can only become righteous by accepting God's only Son as Lord and Savior of their lives. That's the only way. John, and I'll pause after this. John, Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. God is holy, and Jesus is righteous. And that's the process. It's also in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 in the Bible.
Oh, excellent. But now I think you missed my point. The point is, if after all of what you said is done, and there's some other things, too, that we might want to look at. This person, he says, I'm declared righteous. I'm doing this. And you remember the story about the scribe said, I never saw, never this. This is where I'm headed with this. Somebody, here we are on earth, somebody here on earth is crying, saying, oh, God, I've been righteous. I am righteous. I've lived a righteous life. Save my daughter. Now, what happens to that person when the daughter dies? God, I'm righteous. You know I need a job. I've been putting applications in. I've been begging everybody I know to hire me, but I don't have a job. But I am declaring myself righteous because this is what I'm doing according to your word. God, what's going on? And we could go on and on with these scenarios. So if God hears the prayer, and he does, he says he is the hearer of prayer. But if you look up the meaning of that word hearer, it doesn't mean, oh, yeah, I'm going to hear. Yeah, I heard what you said. I'm going to go back down. That denotes doing something about what you have heard. And, of course, God is able. God is possible. God can do all things and so forth and so on. And I know this is what is preached, but let's go through this again. What happens to the righteous? God hears the prayer of the righteous. What happens to the righteous when his prayers are not answered? This is the question, the 99-cent question of the hour. What happens if I've lived this great life, I've done this, you know, I've helped over here, helped over there, never stole nothing in my 99 years, but the prayer that they done got on their knees and spoken, it just didn't come to pass. Nothing happened. They went on and died. They went on and took poison. They went on and drunk that Kool-Aid. I pray that they wouldn't go to with Jim Jones. This is where we're at. Many people say, you know what, I ain't going to pray because it ain't going to do no good. But now let's get back to the righteous man. Now you said that he hears the prayer of the righteous. Well, what else does he do? Does he answer according to what they're saying or do they not? Let's break this thing down because we're not trying to make Jehovah God look like a fool. That can never happen. But for someone that has lived an exemplary life, never even said one curse word, and they go to God on their knees, a backside, sitting in a chair, and God, I'm pouring it out. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, I'm pouring it out. God, you got to come. God, you got to help me. God, you got to spare my life one more time. My son's on the way to the electric chair. God, and nothing happens. What can we say? Now, there is an answer to this, and as a well-rounded, world-renowned minister, I know you have the answer. Some ministers say, you know what, I don't know that answer. I have to get back to you, never get back to you. But now we got to put the cloak of love on this God and on the one praying. Do they get up off their knees and say, well, she's dead? Use David for a good example, him and Bathsheba. After the child died, he got up, Bible says, he got him, washed himself, went on and ate. What advice do we have for the righteous that know they are declared righteous by their works? I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And nothing happened. Tired of a hole monging on that street corner. God, get off the street corner. Next day she dead. I mean, these are real life things that I have heard about. Some have come and talked to me about that. What answer, if any, do we have? Because I believe the ministers are ordained to answer for God. I believe, you know, they say they're standing in the gap for God here on earth. So what do you do when that person person has run to your door. It didn't work. I thought you said. I thought you told me God is that and the other. What happened? They're on their way to the morgue. I can say that myself. I prayed all night long and all day long for Bishop Mims. Oops, it happened. He went on to glory. I can say the same for Mama. When they called me at 5-something in the morning, and I just left there, been out in the parking lot crying all night, just got back. Here they call me again. And I'm racing over there, pitch black. I'm racing. What happened? I want you to answer that, Pastor Colonel Dr. Reverend Harrison. And then I'm going to tell you the conclusion that I came to, knowing I done prayed, I done ran, half dressed, no bath, sandals on, sock on one foot, lost the sock, but I kept going. And there she laid. Nothing moved. The reality sunk. God, what happened? You know I was getting ready to get it in church. You knew I was getting ready to do this. You knew she asked me, do you think Jehovah this, that, and the other? You know that. You heard it. What happened? Hey, what can we say? Colonel Harrison, what can you say to the soul that is still grieving? I done prayed.
Yes, thank you, Doctor. One example of Abraham in the Old Testament of the Bible, traditional Holy Bible, God clearly made Abraham righteous because Abraham was obedient to God. So that tells us that mankind cannot make themselves righteous, man, woman, or child. As we move forward, one who has accepted God's Son as their personal Lord and Savior is made righteous through Jesus Christ, God's Son, the relationship that Jesus has with God, the relationship one has with Jesus Christ. So now God also has an appointed time for mankind to live. We can have the relationship with Jesus, and a loved one can become ill, and a loved one could be on the brink of death, and a loved one ultimately can die. It depends upon what God's appointed time is for that person. And life expectancy. So one of the mysteries about this matter is God appointed first comes the judgment, man is appointed to die, and then comes the judgment. So the time, how long we live, is in God's hands, not man's hands. So we don't know that. So we can be righteous, we can pray that God save a loved one on a sick bed that's dying, and the person may ultimately die. That's God's thing. That's God's decision. And the Bible doesn't give an answer to that. That's one of the mysteries of the Bible. But all we can do is keep ourselves through prayer in a good relationship with God and hope that God will spare the loved one. Pray that God will spare the loved one. He may or he may not. It depends on what God's will is for that person's life and how long God has purpose in his heart for that person to live here on this place called Earth. So there's a lot of variables involved.
Yeah, that is great. Hey, you guys, have you heard that? But we're just not talking about death. We're talking about people and a job. We are talking about people making up their mind to do what God says. You know what? We're going to have – we have so many hands up here, it's not even a shame. Hey, you guys, why God does not hear my prayers? We're going to do something really great regarding this thing called a righteous one. The Bible says none are good, no, not one. So we've already been told in Psalm 90 that man has 70 years to live with special mightiness 80. So we're just not hound-dogging God, give me 10, 15, 100,000 more years. That's not the point of this. The point of our question and answer is to let people know, why does he not hear the prayers? We're going to pick up on part 3. This is excellent. Look up righteous, because we're going to chew it up and spit it out. God bless you. Thank you guys for tuning in. Colonel Harrison, thank you for your comments. Same time, same place. Hey, have a good everything day in the name of Jesus. God bless you.